way they pick TV shows is they make one show. That show's called a pilot. Then they show that one show to the people who pick shows. And on the strength of that one show, they decide if they want to make more shows. Some get chosen and become television programs. Some don't. Become nothing.
Hello and welcome to Drop the Pilot, a podcast dedicated to TV pilots that became nothing. I'm Jimmy.
And I am Tisto. Tonight we'll be talking about Night Visions, starring James Remar, Lauren Loughlin, and Mitch Pileggi. It aired on the 30th of November, 1990, on NBC.
Yeah, it was written and directed by Wes Craven, and it was co-written by Thomas Baum, who created the show Nightmare Cafe, which starred Robert Englund. He co-created that with Wes Craven, and it lasted six episodes in 1992 or something.
Freddy himself.
Yes, exactly. He also wrote the movies, Thomas Baum, he also wrote the movies The Sender and The Manhattan Project. So, if you've seen either of those.
I think I've seen both of those, actually, now that you say that.
So, Tisto, what did you think of Night Visions?
Well, I may have given you a hint already. This is terrible. This is long, and it is. I will say this. So, there's good and bad. I mean, it's Wes Craven. He's good. He knows what he's doing, and it picks up toward the end. But I liked the structure. I found myself sort of more interested as the Dr. Sally Powers became more overcome with her. I guess they are night visions, I guess. But I found the dialogue pretty terrible. And since I can only say, since we've seen good acting from these actors, it has to be bad directing because it was pretty bad.
Yeah. Where else have we seen Lauren Loughlin? And I've seen her in Fortress with Christopher Lambert, but I think that's all I've seen her in.
Yeah, I looked her up. This may surprise you. I looked up the lovely leading lady.
You looked up the attractive woman. Yes. I wonder why.
And I don't know that I did ever see her in anything else, even though she looked pretty, you know, familiar to me.
Well, I think this is a pilot that's very restricted because it is on network TV. I think if this was in cable and a wee bit sort of edgier, it might have worked. Just let Wes Craven go, because he's a horror director. Just let him go on with it.
If it had been, that's true. If it had been gorier, then the hammy acting would have felt more earned. You know, I mean, when James Remar right at the beginning, like, comes into that enormously large questioning room, whatever they call it, the holding room where they're questioning that guy, and, you know, starts giving him the third degree. That would have felt a little more earned if it was something, if the murder had been something more than just like a strangled girl in a parking lot. You know, I don't know.
Well, there was another three before that, to be fair.
Well, that's a good point. This guy works fast. I mean, he's killing girls every night, almost. Mm-hmm. Holy mackerel.
Yeah. You said earlier on that Lauren Loughlin's character, Dr. Sally Powers. Can we talk about that name for a minute? Dr. Sally Powers.
As YouTube automatic quotes or automatic captions renders it, Dr. Salad Powers. Salad! Maggie! They kept calling each other because I was running that. Salad and Maggie together as partners.
That's better. You say that those are probably her night visions, but she also has them during the day.
Yeah, that is a problem. So, day visions doesn't seem like as scary a title.
All day round visions. 24-hour visions, I think it should have been called. Because she doesn't just have them at night.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, let's try and go through this plot. I'll try and make it as quick as possible. The problem here I have is there is actually quite a lot in this.
Yeah. I mean, it's 90 minutes long and it uses all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas Popeye Doyle, there's bits that you could skip because all they did was walk about or sit about and talk or just sit there for 5 minutes and do nothing. But here there is actually things happening, folks. Right. So we open in a nightclub where a dude named Ray is watching his girlfriend, I think.
I guess, yeah.
He leaves with another woman, so I don't know. Aura, her name is, dancing with other men. In a fit of rage, he removes her from the dance floor and has a very public argument with her.
In a fit of rage, he removes the hands pawing him of another woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it was a very odd relationship.
She leaves to drive home alone. In the parking lot, she is choked to death and left on the ground with her legs spread apart.
In the spread eagle position, which is the name of the killer.
Yeah, they call him the spread eagle killer. And this is the fourth time he's struck in as many days. So, every night he's out there just killing a woman, as we learn later on, taking pictures of her.
And yeah, he's got a day job on top of it. He's a busy man.
Maybe that's the night visions, because he's taking pictures of them.
Yeah.
And it's at night.
Sometimes.
But then why would the TV show be called Night Visions? Because she's would be in the TV show. Unless the TV show is going to be called Salad Maggie. That would have been funny. Ray's brought in for questioning as a suspect, and during which he is treated roughly by an overly suspicious Sergeant Thomas Mackey, who's played by James Remar.
James Remar!
Yep. He is stopped by Captain Keller, and through concrete exposition, we learn that Mackey is a recently divorced alcoholic, because of course he is.
What? Of course? Yeah, that was all... Yeah, that's the sum total of the character development for that character. Is he just got divorced, I think he hit the bottle pretty hard.
Exactly, that's that, because why not? And that is the last we see of Ray. Ray's no longer in the pilot.
Yeah, and we don't need him anymore, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't do it. We meet Dr. Sally Powers, a specialist in criminal psychopathology. Ooh, I said the big word. She's brought in to give insight into the mind of the killer. Mackey is allowed to forego a 10-day suspension to continue to work on the case if he agrees to supervise Dr. Powers.
Yeah, it's a really weird relationship between him and Captain Keller. Captain Keller is an oddball guy.
Yeah.
First of all, he's a serial killer himself from Shocker.
Yes. Well, it's good that Wes Craven, worked with Mitch Pileggi again. It's good that he did that.
Yeah, I like that song.
Yeah. He's like, well, I like you. You don't have to be batshit insane in this one and jump through televisions. This one you can just shout at people.
And then he went on to be the guy that shouts at people on The X-Files.
Exactly.
And also, he was the voice of he was the narrator on the Secrets of Magic show. Did you see those specials?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he was that guy.
Right. Oh, yes, it is. I remember now. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen them, but I recall. At the scene of the next murder, Mackey clashes with Starks, who's another cop, and Dr. Powers meets the police photographer, Martin, who takes a shine to her. Guess which one of Rose is the killer, kids?
Yeah, let me tell you something. So, that's a very important thing. First of all, somebody has already put tape around the body.
Yeah.
Which cops don't do, before the photographer has taken pictures for some reason. And then the photographer starts talking to her. Literally, in minute one, I said, oh, that guy did it.
Yeah.
I don't exactly know how exactly I knew that, but it was like, that's the wrong character talking to her this way. He immediately says, she's the same age as you. And that's not the line he goes out on. That should have been his exit line, because that's a pretty good line. But then, no, they keep talking, and I'm like, okay, that guy's the murderer.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious from the jump that it's Martin, the photographer, who's killing all these people and going back and taking pictures because he likes it. Because he's a freak!
Well, by the end, we see that he's completely nuts, and yet... Every moment before that, he's just like, Mr. Nice Guy, I'll take you to lunch, blah, blah, blah. He didn't seem creepy at all.
That's television or movies for you, really, isn't it? As soon as you find out someone is a killer, they automatically go insane.
Right.
It's like they can be perfectly normal up until the reveal. And as soon as we find out the twist, it's like, yeah, it's me. Ah, woo, I'm nuts. Wee. I'm going to kill you all. Oh, I'm dead.
Yeah. Also, we established that this new murder, it's not in the street outside of a club. No, it's inside the house of a rich lady in, or like her escort or whatever, in a gated community. How did that photographer get in there?
I don't know.
The cops had trouble getting in order to investigate the crime. I don't know.
Well, I don't know, because they sort of say that this didn't happen, but the best way you could say it is that he was one of her clients. He posed as a client and went to, you know, pick her up or something and then killed her.
Right.
But I think they say that that didn't happen, that he breaks in. Did they say he broke in, or there was no sign of entry? I can't remember. I don't care.
Don't remember that part.
Wes Craven didn't give a shit, so I should be. Salad lies on the floor and on the tape outline of the victim and announces that the victim was raped. That night in bed, Dr. Powers relives a murder that she survived when she was a teenager. So there you go, a wee bit of exposition, background nonsense there.
Yeah, that moment was very important between them. The you know, when Mackie sees that Salad has is lying down in the victim position, he kind of freaks out about it, and we see that she's kind of, you know, that might be the first minute that we are certain that there's something weird about her, and we go right into, like you say, the actual night vision.
The next morning, Salad is called into the station to meet with the captain. But instead, she has a hunch that leads her to a health club. She emulates the behavior of the instructors in order to take a class.
That was super confusing.
I know, when the next body is found in another room in the club. Yeah, the implication is that she's got multiple personalities, right? This also means that she can emulate people and just, like, watch them for a few seconds and then go, right, that's how I can act. And that makes no sense to multiple personality disorder.
The only way it made sense to me is that she does aerobics herself. So she's in a class, or she has been in a class. So here she was just doing what the teacher did. But like, how do you just walk into a health club and start leading an aerobics class? Like, where's the person who normally does that? It was really confusing.
Well, the person who normally did it is lying dead in the next room.
Oh, that's the person?
Yeah, because they keep saying she's not there, she hasn't turned up, she's not there, so that's when Salad takes over the class.
Oh, I did not get that at all. I guess I was just baffled by the fact that, like, she knew she was supposed to be there at this meeting at the office at 10 o'clock, and instead she's still at the health club.
Yeah. After she gets a telling off from the captain, Martin takes a distraught Salad to lunch. I'm just going to keep calling her Salad. you planted the seed there. He tells her that he wants to take photos of her. Yeah, it's pretty clear he's a killer. It is.
Yeah, because there's no other reason for that relationship. It just sticks out like a sore thumb, yeah.
Yeah, if the show continued on, I wouldn't have wanted them to get together, but because it's a woman and a man who are working together as partners, you would think it would be Salad and Maggie that get together, but he's older than her and that would be a bit weird. But yeah, you would think by normal TV conventions that that's the way they were going, so obviously this wasn't going to work with Martin.
I was actually thinking that maybe they were setting up Mackie with Penny Johnson-Gerald, the Luann character, who is his, I think she's his secretary or something? Do detectives have secretaries?
I don't think so. I think she's just a secretary. She just likes to get in everybody's business. because the relationship that happens between Salad and Maggie is more of a sort of big brother, little sister relationship.
There's a lot of talk about, being partners.
Yeah, partners. But there is, he does sort of look after her like a big brother would.
Yeah.
There's no sort of romantic notion there in the pilot, which I quite like.
Right.
There's no sexual tension between the two of them that would normally be in a pilot like this, because it's a man and a woman. It's more like, we're partners. That's it. We're partners. And I'm going to be a big brother to you, kind of thing. I like that.
We're the kind of partners where I follow you around on a date and walk you like a hawk.
Yeah. To be fair though, To be fair, though, she is really fucking weird.
He is very concerned about her, genuinely so, and sensibly so.
Exactly. He wants to know what is going on with her. I'd be doing that, too. I know it's kind of creepy, but if I was lumbered with this woman as my partner, and she starts being other people, I'd be like, you know what, I kind of want to see what's going on here. After an argument with Maggie, Salad predicts the location of the next murder to be a biker bar. I don't actually know how she did that. She just sort of stares off in the distance and it's like, oh, I'm going to do myself up and wear leather and go to this biker bar.
Yeah, somebody, Luann's ex-boyfriend left an outfit there. He wanted me to wear this to the biker bar or whatever. And she's like, oh, I'm going to go to the biker bar on this motorcycle that just also happens to be here.
Yeah. Where'd she get the motorcycle?
Yeah, there's no vision as far as I can tell. You're right.
Mackie follows her, because of course he does, and finds her in the back room with a knife in her hand next to a freshly murdered woman. So she's taken on a personality here of a tough chick because she can fight this personality.
Right, yes.
So that's probably what every episode would have been like. She would probably be one or two personalities, different personalities, probably just one to fit the 44-minute format.
She puts on a telephone repairman's shirt and glasses and sneaks in and does some telephone repair and then catches the murderer.
Oh, guarantee if the show kept going, she would have had glasses on and pretended to be a nerd.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. The victim was not stabbed, but she was beaten with a blunt object. Because Mackie initially thinks it could have been her that did it.
Right.
Because she's standing with a knife in her hand, but then he discovers that the victim was actually beaten, so she didn't do it.
He realizes that he stopped her from stopping the murderer.
Yes.
That's the weird thing.
Yes.
And yet he still thinks that, well, now at that point he doesn't think that she did the murder. It was just initially.
Mackie apologizes to her at a diner where he witnesses her emulate the behavior of their waitress. Salad begins to think like the killer, and Mackie encourages this, but she becomes scared and runs away.
Does this mean that the waitress is also going to get murdered? Because why would she? Like, she, like, had a premonition of what the waitress was going to say, even.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the waitress is dead also.
No, I think that was just exposition for the sake of the audience.
I choose to believe that woman is dead, because she was an unpleasant woman.
Yes, yes. Well, as she said, you can put your own mustard on it or something.
Yeah, that's right.
He was being nice to you. He wasn't being a dick. I mean, he's been a dick to other people, but he was being nice to you. But, you know, maybe he frequents that diner and she knows him. So she knows what he's like.
I don't know. Those people do exist. I've often said, hamburger, no cheese. I don't like cheeseburgers. It's a hamburger. It doesn't come with cheese. Okay, well, it's America. Everything comes with cheese on it.
You don't like cheese?
I do not care, especially for yellow processed American cheese, no.
Oh, like the slices?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
The commissioner explains to Mackie that Salad is a survivor of an attack by a man who killed her family when she was 13 years old. She survived by hiding in a closet, but now jumps into the personalities of others to escape her own tortured mind. So,
yeah, it's the commissioner. Francis X. McCarthy is the actor's name. He looked familiar, but I don't know what I've seen him in. But they had that weird conversation in the back of a limousine. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you her backstory. She was almost murdered. She saw her parents murdered. Her brother was murdered. And she was hiding in a little tiny closet.
And then the killer almost got her police sirens and her enemy.
And then the commissioner, like, took her under his arm, like, in his own mm-hmm. family or something like that, right? And yeah. Got her through college or whatever. And then he's like, oh no, she wants to solve murders!
Yeah, exactly. He's a surrogate dad.
It's a good story, except there's literally no interaction between the two of them at all.
No, when she's introduced, he's there, but that's it.
Yeah.
He leaves quite quickly, and then you don't see anything else between the two. But I'd imagine if the show kept going, then he would have turned up every now and then. But you never know. We will never know. Mackie questions the commish, putting her in danger by consulting on this case, but he is told that he was picked to look after her because he likes to be on the edge.
Maggie is the worst character to try to take care of her. That is a terrible idea.
Maggie shouldn't be looking after anyone, a vulnerable person at all.
Yeah, a recently divorced alcoholic who's a behavior problem. Like, here, take care of this puppy.
Yeah. Salad goes shopping with Martin, and they're interrupted by Maggie, who has spotted that Salad is in one of her alternate personalities. She tells him that she's fine and that she'll call him. Martin drops her off at Luann's under kiss, but obviously Maggie is watching.
Yeah, that was actually a brilliant sequence. This is part of the structure that I liked, because mm-hmm. I just thought that the shopping was another date, and that was that. I didn't get that this is a prep for her to go to another, you know, another situation where there's a murderer and everything. I thought that was clever.
Yeah. Salad dresses up again and tries to get into a wedding. Maggie intercepts her. Well, she did buy the clothes.
I just think it's funny. This is the second time that Salad has been dressing. Yeah, I just thought that was funny.
Yeah. Maggie intercepts her, but she doesn't seem to know who he is. So here she actually doesn't recognize him.
Right, yes.
But in her previous personality, she did. Quite inconsistent, I think.
Right, she's extra far gone at this point, yeah.
Yeah. Although she doesn't really recognize him in the biker bar either, did she? Because she just punches him and walks away.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you're right, yeah.
Maggie fails to get through to her, and she gets in by knowing something about a guy's divorce.
I was distracted by the fact that that there's like fake Michael Jackson and fake Madonna,
yes,
arriving at this event, the wedding, this celebrity wedding and everything, yeah.
Yes, it's actually a credit in the end credits. It says celebrity impersonators provided by.
Oh.
Yeah, so they are actually supposed to be Madonna and Michael Jackson. And I think there's a Jack Nicholson there as well.
Oh.
So, yeah. Anyway, Mackie fails to get in despite being a cop, and Salad lets him in the back gate. So that's very easy for him to just get in the back gate. She just opens the back gate and goes, come in.
Yeah, that's sort of actually believable, to be honest. Yeah, I buy that.
You buy that?
Yeah, they got all the security at the front. They don't think that the guests are going to go through a back gate or a side gate and let people sneak in like that. I believe that.
I don't. I would think that the security, there's like 20 security guards there all dressed as fucking Crockett and Tubbs.
Yes. Yeah. And they draw down on him, like five guys draw down on him.
Exactly. But he's a police officer.
Right.
They should, as soon as he said, I'm a cop, they should have lowered their weapons. It's like, oh, sorry. But you have to leave, please. You don't. There's no need for a cop to be in here. Everything's fine. We've got 20 Crocketts here. It's all good.
It's true. It is hilariously Miami Vice-like, yes.
It is, yes. Salad snaps out of it to work out that the bride is the victim. And she and Maggie stop the bride getting shot by a bullet, but the bullet goes into Maggie's shoulder instead. And is there a sniper up in the hill?
That's right. Photographer is now a sniper.
Yeah. Why was he trying to kill the bride? And why was he trying to do it with a gun?
Okay, so as my understanding is that he's building the perfect woman piece by piece by stabbing or injuring body parts. So when he kills one, he stabs her in the leg, and he kills another one, he stabs her in the arm, and he kills another one. This one, he's trying to get the head. So he's trying to shoot her in the head.
Right. And then he would go as a photographer and take a picture of her head.
Right. Yeah, sniping is not a good way for a serial killer to kill people. Like,
no.
Doesn't make sense. Especially if you want to make someone spread eagle. Like, you're not going to be there physically.
As we learn, he does it post-mortem. He does it after. When he's taking the pictures, he does it.
He can do that, yes. And that is the thing that gives him away.
Yes.
Damn. Hoist by his own petard, yes.
Yes, because he does it to the woman in the club, the biker bar. Yeah, that's how Mackie works it out.
Yeah. I did like this sequence too, because, not just for the celebrity impersonators, but there's a mime that I thought was going to turn out to be the killer. And there is a fortune teller who turns out to be a real fortune teller who is psychic herself and everything.
Yes.
That you think is going to be killed. Yeah, that was, I like that. That was good.
But it goes nowhere.
Oh, and Timothy Leary is in here.
Remind me who Timothy Leary is.
Timothy Leary is the guy who, in the 1960s, promoted acid culture, like LSD culture.
All right.
Tune in, turn on, drop out, and that sort of thing. And he is conducting the wedding ceremony.
All right.
So that's a genuine celebrity, you know, spotting.
At the hospital, Sally plots the murders on a map in the shape of Da Vinci's Vitruvian Man.
Vitruvian Man, which turns out to be wrong.
Yes.
And at the time I was like, I don't think that's right. I think it's a spread eagle woman. That seems obvious.
It's very obvious.
That's how he leaves the victims.
Yeah. Sally promises not to go after the guy alone and to wait until her partner is out of the hospital. So they're sort of bonded now.
Yeah, the partnership stuff works.
Keller tells Sally that he's taken Mackie off the case. No, actually, that's bollocks. Luann tells Sally Keller told her that he's taken Mackie off the case. Holy shit. Sally tells Keller where she thinks the killer will strike next in exchange for Mackie being reinstated.
Which is one of the funniest scenes. Also, again, it's a conversation in a dark room. His office is really dark for some reason in the middle of the day.
Yeah. When we first see that room, it's not that dark. It's quite bright, actually.
But right,
it's
yes.
sort of shot from a sort of like a high angle, and you can see the light coming in from the window, and you can also see the boom mic in that scene.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
At the beginning. But this one, it's shot. And also, she says that he can't find out about me.
She didn't want Maggie to know that Salad was the one who got him back on the case, I guess.
Do you think that's what it is? Because she said he should, I don't want him to find out about me or something, I think she says. But that's what your interpretation was, yeah?
Yes, because I don't think she's talking about her powers.
No, because he knows. So. But
right.
She doesn't really know that he knows because she's always in a different state of mind whenever she's talking to him.
I don't think she thinks Captain Keller knows at that point.
No.
So I don't think that she's talking about that. I think she's talking about the fact that she made a deal. Yeah. Because at the end, it becomes a thing that she made a deal with Keller to tell him where the killer was going to strike next, which is not much of a deal. That is literally what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's her job. In the hospital, Maggie notes that the victim in the Vicar Club was in the fetal position when he found her, but was spread eagle in the photos. Luann says that that's the way Martin photographed her. Martin takes Sally to his apartment where he shows her the photos of the body parts of the victims in the form of a woman. He wants Sally to be the head.
And she is completely out of it and she's like, yes, I want to be the head.
Yeah, I think this personality is a victim.
Right, that's what she says later, yeah.
Yeah, but it's really strange. Is it like, is she playing a drugged out victim? Because she's very, very high here.
Also, it doesn't really look like a woman, exactly. Like,
no.
Martin has not done a good job of constructing the perfect woman.
No, because, again, they're restricted by TV. And it just looks like the Da Vinci Man thing. Because they can't show breasts.
Right, yes.
So he can't take pictures of naked breasts and put them on the thing. So it doesn't look like a woman.
Right, yes. But even like, it doesn't, I mean, the feet don't look like feet to me. Just
no.
They look like random pictures of the injuries themselves. I don't know, that was weird. That was a weird thing.
Yeah. On the rooftop, Martin is taking pictures of Salad and gets her to stand on the edge. She starts to hear something that Mackie said to her earlier about taking control, but then she starts hearing it in her own voice, which I quite liked.
Is this before or after the confrontation between Maggie and Keller? Because...
Oh, I skipped that. I don't care. But you can mention it.
Where he grabs the captain's balls?
Yeah.
They have like a fight, and he's like, don't mess with me. And then he grabs the captain's balls, and the captain's like, okay, mess with me. What the hell was that?
I know. I was just trying to get through it as quickly as possible and I left that bit out.
All right, go on, please.
No, it's okay. I'm glad you mentioned it because it is something that should have been mentioned. He does grab his testicles and he does that really goofy face.
Yeah.
Yeah, But I like the part where she recalls what Maggie says to her about being in control.
Right.
And then she hears it in her own voice that is her taking control. And I really liked that.
Yeah, that was a good touch. Yep.
Yeah. She snaps out of the persona of the victim that she's in. Martin says that he has to punish her, but Maggie gets there in time, kind of. They fall off the roof, but Salad is holding on while Martin holds on to her legs. Martin falls and dies.
Yeah, that was awfully conventional, yeah.
And obviously, there was stunt doubles, and they were all hiding their faces, so you couldn't see that they weren't the actors.
I didn't quite get his idea of this final murder is he's going to make her jump off the building, and then somehow he's going to take a picture of her face after she's fallen off a building?
I don't understand that either. I thought he was going to fall on the car because the car was very prominent.
Yeah, because the car's down there, yeah.
But then he hits the newspaper stand.
And he lives in a building that is, it's a really fancy building.
Yeah, his apartment's atrocious, though. It just looks like a...
Oh, that's right, yeah. It's just a wide-open loft, isn't it? Yeah,
it's not
with the bathroom right in the middle of everything with no walls at all.
Yeah, no, not very nice. Keller sets up the potential series by saying Salad and Maggie are now partners, and they'll get the weird stuff.
Yeah, okay, you two are partners now. We're going to give you the weird stuff.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, what weird stuff?
All the other serial killers.
Yeah, or just serial killers in general. Well, why not say serial killers instead of saying weird stuff? Why weird stuff? This isn't actually the X-Files, you know, Mitch Pileggi. It's not as though... It's not as though, like, aliens are a thing here.
I hope the mime was supposed to come back. Number one, that's an episode in itself. And the, yes. And the fortune teller, obviously, we got to have her again. Ray should be coming back for some... I need your help again.
She takes over the persona of a mime.
Oh.
For an episode. And then...
Silent witness.
That makes it hard to communicate with Maggie because she's a mime and she doesn't
speak. She won't talk at all. Yep. Yep.
Everybody smokes in this.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of smoking, isn't there? Yeah.
It's really quite, mostly men are smoking in this.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Well, James Remar comes in and blows smoke in the guy's face. That was like, well, that's weird. You don't see that anymore.
No. The music was done by Brad Fidel, again, who did the music for Popeye Doyle. It didn't stand out as much here.
No, I agree, yeah.
Whereas Popeye Doyle annoyed me, the music in that, because was trying to be an orchestra when it was clearly a synthesizer. Yeah, this was just nothing.
Yeah.
That's all we have time for. I'd like to thank Testo for joining me once again and talking about the adventures of Salad and Maggie.
Yep.
You can follow the podcast on at DrawThePilotPod, Twitter and Facebook. Send us an email, drawthepilotpod@gmail.com. If you get any suggestions of pilots or whatever, that's good. We did actually get an email. Yay! Suggestions. That was good. Where can listeners find you on the internet there, Testo?
You can find me at TistoZarben on Twitter and Tisto.com, TYSTO.com.
Yeah, although he hasn't posted anything since December.
Oh, it's been months. Months, yeah.
Yeah, December. It was Muppets Christmas Carol.
Yeah, probably.
It was the
last
commentary. Yeah, that is really, really scary.
I've hardly even watched any movies. I live for this podcast.
Yeah, so you can actually watch something.
Yep.
So I'd like to thank you all for listening, and I'll speak to you again next time. Goodbye.